In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Recording.
Hello.
Happy 2024.
2024, baby. Feel good about 2024. I feel good about the even years.
Do you? Is that a thing?
I get a bit of energy. No, I don't know if it's a thing. It's a personal thing. It's a preference.
I like the sound of 2024 better.
Yeah.
But God, it's making me feel old. Facebook's doing that hideous thing where I've been on Facebook again because I'm using Marketplace.
Facebook.
I'm using Marketplace trying to like buy and sell bits and bobs. Mm-hmm. And for example, a litter robot, which is a cat litter box that's self-cleaning and it's $750, which I think I've already told you about. I'm trying to buy one of those today.
How much?
It was $500.
Mm-hmm.
But then she sold it to someone else, even though I said I'd be there at 1:45 today. She was like, it's gone. I was like, you're a fucking bitch.
Yeah, that's not good Facebook Marketplace etiquette. Facebook Marketplace is like a zoo. Everyone just has the worst manners.
Hi, is this available? I'm like, yes, obviously. Please fuck off. I updated the listing and was like, if the listing is up, it's available. And then at my responses went from like, hello, yes it is, like smiley face, to hi, yes, to yes.
Yes, like, full stop.
At least say something else if you're interested.
And you've got to be so on it. Like, you've got to be, the response time is so high. Everything has to be sorted so quickly or people disappear. It's a very high stress environment. It's like being on the stock exchange. It's like being a trader.
Yes. I bought this really nice butcher's block for my kitchen off Marketplace last night. So nice. And then it was actually really, really funny because me and Amar drove to pick it up. And obviously, like, my, you know, what is it? Like, thought process going into any situation is that everything's just going to be fine and whatever. I hate planning it and thinking about it. I think it's just, like, very unsexy. Mm-hmm. So then we drove there. Get there, the woman's put it outside of the house on the front porch. So I was like, I don't even know if I'm supposed to like ring the doorbell or if we're just supposed to take it. And then we tried to get it down her steps and I was wearing my little Margiela tabby heels and like this jacket with really long sleeves and I couldn't like grasp it properly. And then we tried to take it down the steps and I broke off one of the like drawers basically. And then her boyfriend came out and he was so cool, calm and collected. By this point, we were like already bickering and he was so cool, calm and collected. And he was just like, do you want some help getting it down the stairs? And I was like, yes, please. And so he took it down the stairs, him and Amar. I just stood there supervising. And then when they got to the bottom of the three stairs, he just walked off. And I was like, how are we going to get it in the boot of the car? Like, how? And I was like, stop stressing. Like, you're stressing me out. Like, just shut up. And I was like, how? How do I need to call the man back? Like, what do we do? And anyway, the man ended up coming out again once he saw us standing in his neighbor's driveway for like 10 minutes trying to pull out the drawer at this point, which I don't even think comes out. And I think they realized we were going to break off the whole thing. But I was also like, isn't that also rude to not offer, like, you're a man.
Yeah, it is rude
to offer to help us get it in the car.
Yeah, that's very lazy.
I feel like monkeys in a zoo before he offered any help.
Wait, what did you buy? I thought you meant a block for knives for some reason. This is a chest of drawers.
No, it's called a butcher's block, but I don't know what it's called. I don't know if it's called that universally, but it's basically one of those big cabinets with wheels. With like a chopping board on the board. Like it's like a big space that you chop things on and you like keep my kettle's on there, my toaster's on there, my knives are on there.
It's on wheels.
It's on wheels. Spin.
Yeah, I love it. Love it.
And it's huge. So it's literally taller than my oven, which isn't that chic. But my kitchen was just disgusting in this flat because it's a one bedroom house and it's actually really spacious. It's like, I can't remember, it's like 800 square foot or something, so for one person it's like fine, but the kitchen is so thin. It's kind of like your kitchen but just in a way worse shape, in like a line. So there's been no space for anything. It's been stressing me out. I've hated cooking. I hate cooking anyway. I was like, I never cook in here. I need to move to a bigger apartment.
Yeah,
and not that I've ever cooked in my life. And so I was just like apartment hunting and stuff, so we've been trying to just make the kitchen nicer by sprucing it up a bit.
I love that. Are you still thinking of moving? Or this is you're staying and making it special and sexy?
I think I might stay and make it special and sexy because it was really funny. We were talking about this on the Patreon and one person's reply to my dilemma of wanting to pay basically like having to pay like a thousand extra USD a month to move to a nicer area into a house that's like not as nice as mine, or like basically just wanting to pay more to move to either a bigger place around here now that I have the children, or a nicer area but shittier house. And one girl was like, do it, you're only young once. And the other girl was like, I'm just going to interject here and say, please don't waste your money, like more money, more than the extortionate amount of money you're already spending on rent in LA for an apartment if it's unnecessary, because we're like on the brink of a recession. I was like, ugh.
I really appreciated her sensible...
Same, obviously. Sensible
weighing in, because I don't really have, neither of us really have people in our lives who have that mindset.
I do, but they don't, I mean, both of our partners do.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. But not from the perspective of warning about a recession. No. I don't like talking about the recession because I do very much feel like if we talk about it, we will make it happen, because everyone will be like, oh, there's a recession. Then everyone stops spending and that creates the recession. I know, yeah, it's more complicated. Has anyone ever
heard of like manifestation?
We need to manifest an abundant economy in 2024.
Yeah, we spend.
And we do that by spending big.
No, so basically I went and looked at some apartments in the area I want to live in. And it was like the one I looked at yesterday was like a fucking prison cell. And it was $3,400 a month, not including bills, one bedroom, 650 square foot, and was so dark, and you had to walk through a car park. I was like, no, to get there.
Wait, when you're saying 650, is it six? Because my apartment's like 60 square foot.
We're talking in different.
Oh, we're talking in different measurements. Okay.
We're talking in different measurements.
Small. We can just say it's very small.
Well, 650 is not 650 is not 650 like fine for one person, kinda. But not for like that much money, basically, is what I'm saying. And anyway, so then I just gave up and then thought that my apartment was cute. It is so nice anyway, and I just need to get out of that mindset of like, you know, that kind of Kiwi Aussie mindset of just moving around all the time. Like, we just move about a lot. We're just like, I've been in this house for 1 year and I'm like, right, time to pack up and move to a new place.
Yeah.
Like, just Settle in, make it nicer. I get like over shit so quickly. But you could just make your own place better.
We tend to be too chill about what it entails to move and just think it's as easy as, like, I don't know, buying a new outfit or something. And it's such high stress. It's such huge stress moving house. Having said that, we definitely need to move when we get back. This is my year of abundance. I'm having a year of, we can talk about New Year's resolutions, New Year, New Me. But mm-hmm. I just want a year of lightness and joy and easiness, sexy, fun. Just everything's felt very serious the last few years. And I feel like I just want to have a very light and happy life in 2024. And that involves getting out of our apartment. It's not actually about even getting into a way nicer one. Because our apartment's nice. It's just, it's dark. It's noisy.
Yeah, it's dark.
It's the vibes are just not good. We need to bring in mm-hmm. very good light energy into the new year.
I do think that's my number one thing. The light.
Mm-hmm.
It's so essential, especially being in London. Like even in LA, I went to view a place on the ground floor the other day, and it was like a little bit more expensive and bigger, and I was just like, oh, this place is nicer, I want to move in here. And Amar was so good for stopping me, because he was just like, it's literally not, like, it's just not light enough. Like you my house right now is bathed in natural light. It's light even when it's a gloomy day, and it just changes your mood so much. You have to kind of be high up.
Yeah.
And also being high up is good, because then like you're not hearing anyone stomping about or singing.
Exactly. You need to be high up. You need to have good soundproofing. You need to, the windows, lots of natural light. It is like kind of doable, but when I look online, I'm just kind of shocked. London in general, I think, is just the vibe I get from when you were looking for apartments in LA, and I could be wrong, but there's like a general level of cuteness or like an understanding of an aesthetic that's quite nice. And in London, it's just every apartment, 90% of apartments are so ugly. They have those really ugly like checkered kitchen tiles, or those really old school horrible showers with the like the semicircle of glass, or like really bad dark gray carpets. Like it's all very just ugly.
Yeah, here there's just heaps of art deco apartments, which is kind of all I've been looking at, because they have, they're really white and they've got like really cool fixtures, and they have like really fun bathroom tiles. And I mean, that's the area I live in. There's like some really, really cute apartments. But then in Los Feliz, where I was looking, there's weirdly all these new builds and they're quite feral. It's just, it's so hard. It's also funny because I just think like being from the countryside, being like country bumpkins, I'm so just not used to apartment living. I mean, to be fair, when we say apartment living, when anyone says apartment living to me before I lived in one, and I know you live in one too, but it's we're literally living in like converted houses.
Mm.
But I think other people are envisioning us living in like big buildings of like 70 units with like an elevator and shit, but I'm just living in like you walk in through the front door of a house and up the stairs, but it still feels weird. I don't like having people, except to be honest, I went to my old Italian neighbor's house for drinks on Saturday.
Oh, that was really cute. Community spirit. I love when Zach and I first moved out together, we moved into that place in Lewisham, and that was like a very soulless apartment block, new build situation. And I loved that. I've always felt like if I was very wealthy, my dream would be to be one of those people that like lives in a hotel room. I really feel comfort in being in a space with a lot of other people. I'm like frightened of being in a home on my own. But I don't like hearing people, and I actually don't really like seeing them. I just like knowing that they're there. Makes me feel safe.
Yeah, that's very true. One moment, someone's just Someone's just used my Amex to buy something that wasn't me.
Oh.
So, I think.
Unless it was fraud in real time. Often, it turns out it was us. I did the same. I got a transaction on my Monzo and I reported it as fraud. Then I realized it was this really stupid app that I'd paid for.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's honestly probably me. But I don't think... Oh, maybe it was me. Maybe it was me buying that bin. Was the rubbish bin $186? Oh, my God. Oh, my God, it was. That's great.
That's too much for a bin, I feel.
$186.
What was so special about this bin?
It opens up like a butterfly.
Oh, okay. Get it.
It opens out. God. Shit, I can't believe I was about to report fraud on my own bin purchase.
You have been... investing.
Spending. This is the year of... Exactly. Like, but that's the thing. It's the year of living a lovely life, and you should see my hideous IKEA bin. And also, the words of advice I follow from my beautiful friend Julia is buy... Oh, there's like a slogan.
Buy, buy, buy.
She's basically saying buy twice. Like, buy cheap, buy twice. So, like, for example, I spent whatever I spent, maybe $25 on this hideous IKEA rubbish bin. That's going in the bin. If I just bought this gorgeous, or like the, didn't want to buy the litter robot because it's too expensive. And now I've bought two other hideous cat litter trays instead. You know, you just buy the expensive thing the first time. So I'm kind of just doing that, but not doing that. I'm just buying the expensive thing the second time. But I'm thinking about what she said.
Yeah, it's a good philosophy. I feel like that about my kettle. Have we talked about this? The Alessi kettles, which are like pleated.
Oh my God, no.
They have a pleated look. They look like sort of aesthetic. I don't know why I bought them. I bought them because of I saw them on Instagram and someone told me not to, that they were crap. And they are crap.
And you still bought it.
I just didn't believe a kettle or toaster could be bad. I just didn't know how.
I was thinking about this the other day, like on the subject of your kettle and on the subject of someone making a chic kettle and just marketing it to us idiots. It's such a smart idea because it's things like that. Like I want, now that I'm like in my kitchen wanting to get new stuff, I want like a nice set of pots and pans, but obviously I don't know what that is because I'm not a good cook and I'm not the kind of person that gets joy out of like finding, you know, going to a cook shop and Googling the best fucking stainless steel pan, cast iron pan or whatever. So I was like, it's just so genius to find something like that, that we have to have, but we don't know anything about. And then making one look good and marketing it to us in like a really millennial friendly marketting way. Like there's this brand in the US called Caraway and it's pots. It's like exactly that. It's like pots and pans basically, but like really cute colors.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's talking about Caraway. Like felt for a while that everyone owned them. Like when I first moved here, it was like, oh, I need to buy a Caraway set and then just talked myself out of it because it was too expensive. And then the other day I went to buy it, was like, fuck it, now's the time. And then thank God Googled, did the right thing and Googled Caraway Reddit and saw this huge Reddit thread of people being like, this is the shittiest pots and pans I've ever owned. Like I treated it like royalty, like never washed it with any kind of like scrubby brush or whatever. And the thing's rubbing off after a year. Like we have to be vigilant.
We have to be hyper vigilant. That's very good intel. Pots and pans. I do kind of leave that to Z because that's his passion area. But for the more aesthetic things.
I need him to tell me about a pot and a pan. But I live in the US.
He will gladly share. His new obsession is like copper pots because they heat differently. They're better for cooking specific things.
Ooh.
I know. They look cute as well.
Well, I just threw my... I threw my pans in the bin, so now I don't have any.
Oh my God, that is such an us thing to do. Like, I hate these ones. I'll figure out the new ones later. We need a new, to go back to toaster and kettle, we need a new Smeg. I feel like I'm just not, I don't think I'm a Smeg girl.
I have Smeg.
You have Smeg?
Only because I didn't know what else to buy, and yeah. I was doing the thing of moving here and needing a kettle and needing a toaster, and to be honest, you'd mentioned your bad kettle experience, mm-hmm. and I was just like, I can't go there. Yeah. So I bought a Smeg white set. And then they're on top of the butcher's block. I'm looking at them now.
They are cute.
They do look cute. I mean, they are a bit like Jade at the same time.
I can't decide if they are.
I think they are.
I think, yeah, maybe.
They look sexy, but they also, they feel like they're not Jade, I'm Jade.
No.
For having them.
It's time.
Yes.
the market is wide open for a new Smeg if some enterprising person is listening. A sexy, overpriced kettle and toaster.
I think the market's also wide open for like really cute sets of kitchen utensils, like tongs.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Agree. I'm very obsessed with the dinosaur designs. Salad servers. They're like tortoise shell. They're very cute. These are the, I want to get into my entertaining era, but I don't believe it's this year. I believe we're a few years off. We have a few priorities this year to get on top of before we get into entertaining.
Yeah, I like that idea. So what, your New Year's resolution is to be silly and have fun?
Yeah, so a friend of mine does like the one word thing. You pick a word for the year and that's like what you send to the year around. And it's quite a good exercise to do as opposed to resolutions, because I think when you write, I've at least found when you write resolutions down, it just feels like a laundry list of stuff and it can stress you out. Whereas a word is a bit more, you spend a lot of time thinking about what you want the year to look like and just kind of center yourself around that word. So my word last year was momentum, and it was really good because there were things that I wanted to do either creatively or with work or just personally, things like exercise, where it felt, getting on top of it felt so hard. And so I reframed it into my brain of like, you're just building momentum. So it's just about like putting the foundations in place to make this easier for you down the road, as opposed to needing to be like a fitness junkie by the end of the year or, you know, write a screenplay by the end of the year or direct a thing. It's just about putting the processes in place to build momentum.
That's really nice.
I know, it's a good one. So this year we were talking about it and I think my word is lightness. And it's...
Aww.
Yeah, I know, it's really cute. It's a cute little exercise. Sure. And it's because everything I was thinking about just came back to the fact that everything's just felt very serious in my brain and heavy and high stakes, and even getting married this year, I came at it from such a like deep thinking, overthinking, serious way, and work has felt very deep thinking, serious thinking, and existential. And I don't know, I'm just ready for some lightness and fun and to not take everything so seriously.
Back to 2016, Grace O'Neill.
Yes, literally. I'm like, I think COVID. I think we're all just now reflecting maybe, or at least I am, on the impact that COVID had. And I feel like it had a really big impact on everyone's existences and brains. And I think for me, I was, obviously we were all very indoors. I was reading a lot. I was alone a lot. I was thinking a lot. I feel like I just got into a very sort of existential overthinking, quite serious place in my brain. And it's time to bust out of that prison and be joyful again.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What's yours? What would your...
Oh my God, I don't know. It's funny because I feel like mine is... Mine was... I don't know. I need to think about it properly because yours is really inspiring because mine was basically like kind of wanting to focus myself a bit more or like center myself a bit more maybe. Something around that. Like maybe it's not around focus because that sounds so like... boring and worky, but sort of around like centering myself in things that I value and things that I care about and bringing it all back to that all the time and like bringing everything back down to my values maybe. Because I think with my ADD, I just think honestly, every day that goes by, like you just, it's insane how much it impacts every single thing I do in my whole life. Like it's just this ongoing learning an unlearning thing about like the whole way I am as a human, and it's which is like frustrating and tiring and just mostly frustrating, I guess, because it just feels like I think for everyone who finds out they have ADD late, you just feel like you've wasted so much time, but then at the same time, like I can't even get meds right now. So I think it's like just this ongoing thing of like now realizing how my brain works, but then also still not really having the tools to be able to like focus it properly or something. So I'm still noticing it just getting everything just getting away from me all the time. And I think it's things like as simple as like not even just with work where I'll let work pile up. Like I was trying to think yesterday in the car, I was just like, what even is the best? Because things, I think being freelance is obviously really hard, especially having ADD, because there's so many different balls you're juggling at the same time. But then also it's really good for my scatty part of my brain that loves having heaps of different tasks to focus on and heaps of different things that are exciting happening all the time. Like I don't think I could focus on the mundane. But then I was just like, what even is it that, how even would it be, what's the best way that you can work kind of thing? And I was thinking about the podcast and I was like, I don't know how, somehow with this it just works. Like it's just like we have this thing we have to deliver every single week, and I think having that deadline of like you literally can't really shuffle it around at all. You just have to be there. I really like that. I don't even know where I was going with that. Basically, I can essentially just fucking being ADD in the conversation. I can get uncentered or whatever, or get off center with everything, like even with like socially what I'm doing and who I'm hanging out with and who I'm spending my time and energy with, and like I can just be out of the house so often and then just sort of be like, wait, what was that even for? Like, what are you, I will just be so busy all the time. So I think maybe like taking, and even just like, I think I talked about this on the Patreon and then I was like, did you sound like such a like spoiled brat? But even things like traveling and taking trips and just like stopping and just thinking, is this really like, something, I don't know, is this really something that you're going to look back on and really be so thankful you did this, or is it more worthwhile staying home and reading that book you've wanted to read for so long, because that will make you feel really accomplished that you've finally done that, and that will like align with your values of loving reading and you know.
100%. It's like being, as I don't know if it's as we get older or we're just becoming more aware of time, but you just have to be so intentional with how you spend your time. And it's that idea of, someone said this to me, it's like every time you say yes to something, you're saying no to something else. So, and that's a really, and I forget that all the time, but it's so true. If you say yeah, yes to a work trip because it sounds sparkly and exciting. There's a lot you're saying no to. You're saying no to spending a really nice weekend at home with your partner, or you're spending no to like, yeah, resting and reading and nourishing yourself in that way, or you're saying no to being well slept for a week or blah, blah, blah. There's just a limited amount of time to do all the things that we want to do. And I think, being very intentional with that is definitely something I'm thinking about as well.
I think that all the time, where I'm just like, I honestly don't know how people, like, I see people reading books and I love reading. And I know that, I just feel like people are thinking like, well, if you really loved it, you'd just make time for it. But I like,
no,
I think I don't know how people have time to read books, or it's not that I don't have the time. It's that my brain, I think maybe it's just ADD in a way, but it, like, my brain feels so busy and cluttered and like fast paced that I just can't focus enough now to like read, or every time I sit down to read, I have like a billion other things I should be doing. Like, I'm like, you should be working. You should be doing this. You need to like do this, this, and this. Like, even now, I guess it's like, obviously now I'm like trying to buy shit for my kitchen, but then it's like, you have to buy, there's just so much admin being an adult. Like, I'm like, I need to go to the fucking post office. Like, I've run out of food again. Like, I need to buy X, Y, and Z. Like, I need to invoice.
I know. It's so fucked. It's fucked because I think everyone feels that way. And then with your ADD, is it ADD or ADHD? Do you prefer?
I have ADD.
Okay,
which is like not the hyperactive strain,
right?
But yeah, I don't know. I think I was hyperactive when I was younger, but giving chill now.
You're just at like even more of a disadvantage than everyone already is, because I've been away for a week and I came with a stack of like four books and said, I'm just gonna sit and do nothing and just recharge and read a book a day and blah blah blah, and I just have been so scattered and on my phone and on TikTok, then putting it away, then opening my laptop, then thing, and I'm just filling days, not, you know, and there's some work, so then it's like working a little bit, but not, it's all just feeling very not intentional. Like, my time is not my own and I'm just being dragged in all these directions. And I just feel the same, where I think if I just was very disciplined and woke up and put time aside to spend 2 hours on this and then 2 hours on that and then another hour on this, then I could just sit and read for 3 hours in the afternoon. But it's fucking hard. It's so hard.
Yeah.
It's so hard with technology. Like, unless you're just insanely strict about it, you just lose hours of your day. Hours of your life.
Yeah, I don't even know. Yeah, I just want to know what, you know how like you have screen time? I want someone to do that for my life though, because I feel like I have an Instagram thing. I have a 30-minute Instagram timer and it never goes off until like 11:30 at night. And it'll be like, you've spent 30 minutes on Instagram. So I'm like, it's not Instagram if I've only spent 30 minutes in a day on it. But I'm like, it sure as hell isn't fucking reading or working. Like, what else are you doing? Like, and it's not TikTok. Like, I don't even have TikTok on my phone. I'm just like, what are you literally doing? Like, I'm just like doing washing and like wiping the bench and then walking around in circles, making a tea, forgetting about it, going back to the tea. Like, it's like I'm in like in a madhouse. Like, that's what I find crazy. I'm like, what are you even doing? Like, how I said that to Amar yesterday. I was like, this is a perfect day in our life for you to see for why, when you text me at like 1 p.m. my time and say, are you free for a call, why I say no, I'm so stressed out about work. And it was because it was 1 p.m. and I hadn't started work, but I'd been like at home meaning to work the whole day. Like, I hadn't done anything else. I hadn't talked to him. I hadn't taken the dog out. I'd just like been like doing errands that needed to be done.
I have to say, like, being back in the office for the first time in whatever it is, nearly four and a bit years, there is just something kind of crazy. I found it very difficult at first, being in one physical space where you had to like sit down and be at your desk for 8 hours, because the freelance life is so, you're up and about and you're moving and your thing. And if you feel like going for a walk, you just go for a walk. And if you want to book Pilates, you book Pilates. And the day is just a bit more choppy and changey. Whereas at a desk, you're just people's perception of you being good at your job is like being physically there in that space for the whole day. But there is something about being away from home. You just don't think about that shit that you think about when you're physically in the space you live in that is really, really useful. It's like when you're in an office, you're not thinking, oh, my God, the washing needs to get done. Oh, that needs to be cleaned up. That needs to be put away. I need to do this return. You're just not even in that headspace. I think that's something I'm thinking about a lot when I get back to London is maybe not working from home in that way or just doing it one day a week or something, because I actually think it's not good for the mind. The mind or the spirit.
Yeah. I mean, I went to an office today and when I was there I was thinking, God, it's quite a shock after you've like not been in the office for a while, just even having to like get dressed and put clothes on and put makeup on. And then I went there and I was feeling like so aware of my physical appearance. Same. I was just like, oh my God, I feel like I didn't even like look properly in the mirror this morning. Like, does my hair look shit? Does my makeup look crazy? This lighting is so harsh. Like, I should have lint rolled my clothes. Like, I was so aware of like being physically in front of someone after working from home for so long, which I guess is weird. Did you feel like that too?
That's so, I like didn't realize it until you explained it that way, but I've felt when I'm in London working from home, I always just feel kind of like pretty, even if I'm in sweatpants. Not like pretty, like sometimes I know I look like shit, but I just feel like I look very good and presentable. And now since I've been back in the office, I'm just hyper aware of like, does my hair just being air dried look like shit? Should I be trying to blow dry it nicer? Should I be thing? Do I need to be wearing, I just never wear makeup in London. Should I be wearing makeup every day? Am I well presented enough? Are my clothes perfectly steamed? Like it's literally that thing where you're not coming, your interactions when you're freelance with people are so short and so minimal. It's like the person at the coffee shop or the person on the street. You're not thinking about those small details in the same way.
People also aren't like staring. Yeah, people aren't like staring at you as much. Yeah. And the lighting is so off in offices.
It's so
and
then off.
Yeah, what do you wear? It like today I just so badly needed to lint roll, and then I wore an outfit thinking it was cold, so I had a jacket on, and then I needed to take the jacket off, but I looked feral with the jacket off, so I kept it on. And then I was like, oh, your hair looks gross. Like, I had some weird, like, I don't know, sparkly bits somehow from my makeup bag that got on my face, and I was like, what the hell is this? But then I was there, and yeah, I hated being there because I was like, I'm hungry, but it doesn't feel like the right time to eat, or like I want to cough. But I guess it's good. It's just like it's kind of like a prison. It's just making you stay at your desk because it's not, you don't need to get up and go to the kitchen and like get a snack right now or like find a billion other things to be doing during this time.
And I think you also realize that we can be very, very, you can be very hard on yourself when you're freelance, because it's like if you just finish your work quickly, then you're free for the rest of the day. So you have this pressure to be hyper, hyper, hyper productive with your time. Whereas when you're in an office, you realize that you need dead time in a day. Like no one is just sitting at their desk every hour getting the most highly productive output done. If you have like a 2,000 word article to write and you're sitting in an office, you know that that's going to take you a whole day, maybe 2 days, and that you're going to do some Googling and get distracted, and that you're going to get up and go get a coffee, and then you're going to come back to your desk. But because you know you're going to be sitting at that desk for 8 hours, it doesn't feel anxiety inducing. Whereas when you're home and you're doing that, you're like, why didn't I get anything done? Why haven't I got words done? Blah, blah, blah. If you just did this quickly, you could knock off early and go for a walk or go meet your friends. Like it's a different mindset. The office mindset kind of, I don't know, it recognizes that things take time to get accomplished, and you've got to talk to people and you've got to sit with something.
Yeah,
and you've
people
got
chat
thing.
With you.
Yeah. And it's nice.
It's more collaborative, and it's like way easier to get answers from people because you're, and the back and forth, bouncing things back and forth, even with this, like I was like not going to go in today. because I just wasn't sure what time we're doing the podcast. And I was also like, well, if I can get out of it, I just will. And then I was like, no, just go in. And I was in there and it just made me feel way more motivated again and like inspired and excited. Whereas when you're just sitting at home, it's like so easy to forget what you're even doing.
I was going to say, I've been surprised by how much I've enjoyed the being around people again thing of it. Having people to bounce back and forth on and being in a room full of people and like the banter and the thing. It can get quite isolating, obviously. But I think of myself as someone who likes being alone and likes their own alone time. I felt like it didn't bother me to be home alone working so often. And then I think being back in the office, I realized that there was that part of myself that I was really missing.
Yeah, I really liked it. There was a guy with a cap on that says Cat Dad. So obviously we talked for like a long time.
Special.
About litter robots and that. Okay, so what else? Well, we had nothing on the agenda, obviously, girls, other than New Year's resolutions and casual chat because it's the holidays.
A recentering for the new year, I feel.
What else? Yeah, what I want to talk more about, like New Year stuff. Like, what else do you want to bring into 2024? Do you do anything like vision boarding or like goal? Did you do any like goal setting or anything like that?
No, I think that's part of the lightness thing is just going with the flow a little bit and just enjoying. I think honestly reading, I know we've talked about this a lot, but reading The Creative Act by Rick Rubin has just reshifted my brain so much to this space of just, instead of being so outcomes focused, to just wanting to live a nice day-to-day life and a creative life in your day-to-day. And so if anyone hasn't read it, the book is amazing and everyone should buy it.
I need to finish it, Grace.
You need to finish it. Oh my god, it's so good.
I stopped reading it when we read it, like when we were like talking about it. I think I've read like 30 pages.
You've got to revisit for your new year energy.
Yeah,
it's just, the whole thing is really about the fact that creativity is a way of living. It's a way of approaching the world and seeing the world. It's about taking the longer walk that's more scenic. It's about taking yourself to see a movie by yourself. It's about just going and walking around a bookshop and seeing what grabs you and then running home and sitting and reading that. It's about just living a life where you don't feel guilty about tapping into your creativity. And maybe that relates to what you were talking about with reading. It's like maybe you have a guilt around it or something because you haven't given yourself the permission to say this is like the number one priority, and actually work comes second to the priority of like nourishing my creative self or whatever.
True.
There is a switch that happens like in the book, or at least I found, of it just changes the way you look at things. And I feel like it's reframed my brain away from I used to be very, very, I mean, I don't want to sound too like hippie-ish, like I've got things figured out, because I don't. Like, we all just have periods of time where we get really ambitious and get really obsessive over like external validation. But for this moment in time, at least, I just feel very like I just want to have a year of nice days, if that makes sense,
mm-hmm.
of just day-to-day life looking good. We've had like a lot of stress, not to go into it, but with my partner Zach's like physical health, and there's just been things that have gone on that have added to this like heaviness. And I think that I just want to have a year of things being nice and light and joyful in like a day-to-day sense. And not thinking of the year as like leading to some specific thing.
That's so special. That's really nice, because it's just like living, instead of looking forward to something, just like, as you say, living every day having like a nice day. Yeah. That's so cute.
I know.
And that, yeah, and that is so, that is even like just then I got home, I kind of got home and was like, needed to prep for the pod, but also Polly hadn't been out for a walk and Amar's here and I hadn't seen him all day because I'd been at this thing. And I was like, let's just go for like a nice walk in the sun. And it's like those little things, getting a little special treat every day.
Yeah.
And also like a big event, we were going to speak about New Year's Eve and we haven't yet, but like those big stupid events that you look forward to because they're supposed to mean something, often that's such a letdown. And even like, I know holidays are great, but like holidays when you put so much pressure on them for them to be like the best, most relaxing time, it ends up just not even being that way anyway. And you end up like fighting. And I think, yeah, it's really nice to, wait, what was I going to say? Oh yeah, New Year's Eve. I ended up like getting food poisoning and being in bed by 10 p.m. And it felt freeing. Like it was really weird. It was like, I wasn't even sad about being, I was sad because I felt like dog shit, but wasn't sad about the fact that I couldn't leave the house. Like it just felt nice. It was like, there's so much pressure on this to be this really fun evening. Like, you know that like there's all these parties happening, you know that everyone's out and everyone's having fun and everyone's having the best night ever. And I was like, God, it's so nice to literally drag my ass out of bed, lie on the couch for 2 seconds, watch The Curse. Have you seen it?
No, I still haven't seen it. Is it good?
Oh my God, you're going to love it.
Really?
You have to watch it. You guys are going to love it. Okay. Put it on with Zach.
Yep.
And then watch The Curse and then literally was in bed by 10 p.m. And then the dog was like barking when the fireworks were going off. I was like, happy. That's really nice.
I mean, not nice that you were sick, but yeah, exactly. I think it's just that. I think it's slowing down and realize there's literally a saying about this. It's like, how you spend your day is how you spend your life. Just, we can be so hyper focused on the future or like some idealized version of the future. I'm really guilty of that. And then, yeah, you just miss all the nice day to day things. living in the moment. Having said that, I do feel like I've been... The power of now. Having said that, I do feel like I've been very in a basic bitch New Year's, like, glow up black hole of just wanting to get back on top of skincare. I feel like that really dropped off a cliff this year.
Yeah, I was messaging you being like, how's the, like, rationale skin prep going, like, for the wedding, like, what are you doing? And you were just like, I'm not doing literally anything. So we need to get back on our rationale regimes.
Back on the rationale regime. I'm going to prep with you. Kate Berlant, unofficial pal of the pod, did a perfectly imperfect newsletter and she recommended these eye drops that are like $9. And she just said, you put them in your eyes and your eyes just look brighter. So I bought them. But I'm like, those little things that just give you a little...
Okay. Is that a good thing to be doing? What, do you just put eye drops in for no reason other than to make your eyes brighter? What are these?
Yes, that's a really good question.
I think you're not supposed to use eye drops unless you need them, maybe. But I could be wrong.
I'm going to bleach my eyeballs. I look prettier at
No,
work.
You know how people get, like, addicted to... What would people... I swear to God, I know people who are, like, addicted to eye drops. You? You at your Me? Wedding doing eye drops down the aisle?
I'm going to have to wear like an eye patch. I know. It's like I've suddenly realized that I've got... This is very me. I can't deal with having a year to slowly do the wedding prep thing. I need to have like a time crunch. Oh my God. You got to do as much as you can in this short period of time.
Yeah, sort of deadline. Way.
I don't think... I think... The whole getting hot for your wedding thing is stupid, but in other ways, it's just a nice excuse to, like, I don't know, spend money on skincare and facial treatments.
For sure. Have you seen the Korean facials on TikTok?
Are these just
me
the ones?
Me saying I don't have TikTok.
Where they? Okay, maybe no.
There's this crazy, I think, I don't know if it's an LA, it's definitely not an LA specific thing, but like there's these Korean spas in LA, like Wee Spa, which is the one that like Imrata wrote about in her book. And then there's all these Korean facial places. And my friends went yesterday who were here from London and it was $100 for 90 minutes. And they did so many different treatments. I was like, I'm actually kind of scared to go because my skin is so sensitive. But they did LED therapy, oxygen therapy, where they have this huge thing on, like a huge like space suit thing around their faces. And then they did lymphatic drainage massage, like so many things. Their skin was glowing last night.
Amazing.
I was trying to get us to book it today, but I was too scared and I wanted to text Katie from Rationale and be like, is this okay for me to do? Because I just am, I'm like very good at fucking, I'm very good at the minute my products run out, using anything under the sun and fucking my skin up and then going back on Rationale after like ruining my skin for 3 months and it taking like another 3 months to clear.
Yeah, it's that. This is the thing, like the consistency bit is so important. I've always had milia, which is like these little like little bumps under your skin, and the only way to get them out is by extracting them. So I've just been, Zach's mom is trained as a beautician and we've just been doing extractions, and they're so painful and horrible and my skin looks really crazy at the moment, but I've been getting them out. But that's all because I've been slack with, like, I know I have a very specific Rationale moisturizer I'm supposed to use, all of this stuff, and I've just completely thrown it to the wayside. And it actually does, surprise surprise, it does have an impact.
Yeah. The other thing, what did we start talking about? Yeah, weddings. Oh, like deadlines, getting pretty. Oh, you've been on a glow up. Yeah, I kind of haven't. I mean,
no, I haven't been on one. I'm aspiring to get on one.
Me too. Same.
I'm doing a lot of buying random skincare products because I'm on Reddit forums.
I bought a dry body brush, and I've bought one before in the past and never used it. And I bought it a week ago and still haven't used it. But I want to start dry body brushing.
Yeah.
I also want to start, like, just at the lowest level, brushing my hair and brushing it before I get in the shower, so that thousands of, like, I just find hair all over the house. It literally disgusts me. It, like, makes my skin crawl. But I just can't bring myself to remember to brush my hair.
So does it just not get knotty? Because if I don't brush mine before shower, after, it just turns into a, like, a single dreadlock. It's so,
I do get like a big dreadlock at the back of my hair sometimes, but then I will just like use my fingers to get it out when I'm doing something boring.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just forget. I just honestly can't for the life of me remember to brush my hair. It's insane. But that's one thing. And then dry body brushing, getting back on the running, signed up for a half marathon finally, girls. Oh my God,
amazing. That's so incredible.
It's it's Easter, which I think is like early April, yeah. April 5th maybe.
Amazing. In
Santa Monica.
Santa Monica, so nice.
So that's happening. Got some Beats by Dre wireless wraparound headphones because the AirPods just don't do the job.
Mm-hmm.
And a mini Theragun for my sore legs. So I guess I'm getting back into running properly.
Yeah.
This year. Going to do a half marathon in April.
Have you got that app my brother was talking about? A cute runner's app? What's it called?
Strava.
Tell me more.
Of course I have Strava. It's like, it's literally just like a runner's social media. It's like you have all your running friends on there and then it logs your runs automatically. Or you can, mine just syncs to my Nike Run Club because I'll never not use that because it's got like all my data.
Mm-hmm.
But it syncs to that and then you can like add photos and stuff. So heaps of people who I know, what your brother will be like so into it, like some of my friends where they take photos on their run and like upload them and like write captions and stuff.
That's so cute.
I don't really. I sometimes do. There's only four. I only have four friends on it. I'm quite selective because I don't want anyone to see me on there. Because I'm like just straight pea brain.
That's so nice. Wait, so do you have any other, so run a half a marathon, that's huge. Do you have any other things that you're wanting to focus on for the new year?
I haven't even thought about it because it's the third here. I guess you're like one day ahead.
Mm.
It's the third here and I was still so sick on the first. Mm. So yesterday was like my first day of being a human. And then also because I'm in fucking America, like it's straight back to work. And also catching up on all the work. But I really want to take a second to do a really nice like written out. Wait, I think I actually did write something down. Oh, I wrote something about things I want to write about this year. Like, awesome. Kind of just kind of just personal. Like, I want to write about running, which sounds so boring. No. But I want to write like a piece about running.
I love that. I would love to read that.
But yeah, I don't know. I need to think about it, but I'll try to think about it before tomorrow for the Patreon.
Oh, yeah. Nice. You said a lot of really nice things as well on the Patreon about things for the new year. So you girlies, if you want to hear that, you're going to have to subscribe. That's a good New Year's resolution. Subscribe to the Patreon.
Cold hard capitalists in 2024.
What was I going to say? The only other thing that I just cannot stop thinking about and refreshing is that today is the day that the Epstein logs get released.
Oh my God.
It's so major.
Okay, tell me as soon as that happens and then we'll just talk about it tomorrow.
Yeah, the only one that's come out so far, which like will surprise no one, is that Bill Clinton has been named as John Doe 36, and apparently he's on the flight log 50 times, 50.
Oh.
50.
My God.
He is fucking revolting.
Oh my God.
I know. It's so crazy. So we've got Bill Gates, Prince Andrew, Bill Clinton. Bill Gates, Bill Clinton, Prince Andrew, okay, are like the big three that everyone kind of knows already. Donald Trump is on there too, I think, but the rest are all surprises. And there's been all these like false lists being leaked on TikTok and Twitter. And then this football player accused Jimmy Kimmel of being on the list, and Jimmy Kimmel tweeted him back saying he was going to sue him. It's all like quite crazy. I know.
Wow.
Curious.
Curious. I can't wait. That's going to be so fun for tomorrow.
I love this special judge. Of course, she's a woman. She was like, release them. She didn't even have to. She was like, just release the tapes.
All right.
Fun.
Bye, girls.
Bye, girlies.
Love ya.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.